to you when you come. We always put the scripture up on the center screen, but this way you get used to where things are in the Bible. So do bring those with you. Now, we have been unpacking a passage from the book of Proverbs that is helping us understand who God is a little bit better. In this passage, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, we're finding what things displease God. Or as the Bible puts it, things that God hates. Or another translation put it, things that makes God sick. Now we have seen, so far in this study, a proud look, haughty eyes it was called, that this is mentioned first. And then we discovered that God also is displeased by schemers, selfish manipulators, users of people. That made the list as well. We also looked at how we can avoid these kind of individual practices in our lives, and we focused on the desires that God has for His children. What are the positives that God would like us to live? And tonight we're going to continue through that passage. We're going to keep going through this over the next couple weeks and learn these things. You may have heard these things put before as the seven deadly sins. That's kind of the name it picked up along the way. But we just look at them as things that God brings us to our attention. Here it is, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. Tonight, we're going to focus on two statements that are contained here. A lying tongue and a false witness who pours out lies. Now, if we look at the root of these two ideas, we'll find that they're very similar. A lying tongue, a false witness. And as we consider a person who practices these acts, it becomes clear that somewhere along the line, lying and propagating untruth has become an accepted practice for these individuals. Falsehoods, for whatever reason there is, tiny fibs, innocent white lies, even flagrant deceit have become reasonable and tolerable courses of action for these type of people. Now, of all those things listed, of all these actions that we're looking at that displease God, these two are perhaps, arguably, the sins that hit most of us the closest to home. And that's because situational lying is something that mankind has come to accept. So let's do a little test to see if I'm right, and we'll see just how familiar some situational lies are to us, okay? I'll start the lie, and then you yell out the answer together, okay? Here we go. Let's talk about money first. Here we go with this one. The check is in the
mail.
Oh, liars. Y'all, very good situational lying. All right, so money matters. We know that there's some situational lying going on there. Now let's move on to, how about into our homes? Right into our very homes. Let's try this one. I'm sorry, Mr. Telemarketer. That person is not
here.
Oh, see? You got it. It's true. I think you're proving me right. I'll look at one more, okay? How about love? How can we go wrong looking at love, right? So here we go. I don't feel that we should date, but we can still be
friends.
Oh, did I use that one big time when I was breaking hearts in Linden, then my alarm clock would go off and I would get up. It wasn't really happening. Yes, nah, never got a chance. All right, well, tonight can change the way we live our lives, especially in this area of honesty versus lying. But to get there, gang, we need to be brave, especially tonight. Believe me, we need to be courageous enough to face the darkness in our lives. We need to look it in the eye, and then we need to turn to the light, and that's something you will do yourself in your heart. So, I want to look at three foundational areas of, we'll stay on the positive, truth-telling. Three foundational areas of truth-telling. The first, and I did not give you an outline tonight, because I think you can remember these, okay? And I'm going to put it under, I'll give you an acrostic later, joy, okay? But I think you can remember these. I'll give you that later. First, the first area is telling the truth to yourself. God hates lying. Tell the truth to yourself. It's amazing how we can even lie to ourselves, and even more amazing, find that we can believe our own lies. Now, I'm going to come clean tonight with you guys. I grew up as a husky boy. When I went to buy pants, my brothers got the slim jeans, and I got the huskies. Yes. I was always bigger than my brothers, and to this day, if you know them, you see them here, I'm still bigger than them. But I was just big-boned, right? That's just the way it is. So as time went on, I just kind of accepted the fact that I'm just different. I'm just different from my brothers, and I started eating very, very well. And when I mean well, I mean a lot. It's nothing for me as I've come into adulthood. It's nothing for me to eat 2 or 3 dinner plates. Nothing. That's simple. I can do 2 or 3 dinner plates. Don't get me near your mother's potato, your chocolate chip cookies either. I just eat that much. I guess that's who I am, right? I can eat an entire container of ice cream. It's nothing to it. Grabbing food and eating it where nobody could see, this just became a way of life for me. Because I'm big, you know, that's just the way it is. That's just nothing to do about that. And I have a picture. I have a picture of me 15 years ago holding baby Katie on my stomach the day she was born. I was going to bring it and show it to you, but I can't. I am too embarrassed by it. Because at that point, I had reached critical mass, if you know what I mean. And when I look at that picture, it reminds me of that. And it's that picture that kind of started the ball rolling that, this is beyond big boned. Now, I have read in the Bible that gluttony is a sin. But in the back of my mind, gang, I guess I started to kind of rank the sins, the really bad ones, and then the ones. Murder, sexual sin, bad. Gluttony, lying, Hey, this is just who I am. I'm not hurting anyone. Somewhere along the line, I had fallen into the concept of lying to myself about my overeating. Till one day on Route 78, driving to the firehouse on a commute, I was listening to the radio and Focus on the Family was on. And they had a person who was an expert in this area, and they listed 10 signs of someone who might have an eating problem. I listened to all 10. And when I did the tally, I came up with 6 out of the 10. That day, I had to tell myself the truth. Let me tell you, living the lie was a lot easier than telling myself the truth. But that's what we just learned about God, that we need to tell ourselves the truth and not lie to ourselves. He hates lying, even when it's to ourselves. So that day, I started admitting and telling myself the truth. And I started to fight and get a handle on my eating, which I still fight and try to get a handle on all the time. It's a long road to the solution. But it had to start with telling myself the truth, that I was big time overeating. It was nothing for me to drive home from work when we had a day shift at 6 o'clock, stop for 2 hamburgers at McDonald's, and then eat dinner when I got home without telling them I had eaten. That's my personal truth-telling to myself. And I'll have more personal truth-telling to myself, but so will you. Because there is a multitude of areas we need to be telling ourselves the truth in, gang. We need to tell the truth to ourselves about the condition of our marriages. When we insist that they are at optimal level when they're not. We need to tell the truth to ourselves about our behavior, but our respect towards people, parents, siblings. We need to tell the truth to ourselves about our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our plans. See, when we follow our own course of action without asking for God's desires in our lives. The list goes on and on. So each of us need to come clean with ourselves. We need a mirror of truth. There's no better mirror of truth that I can come up with than to crack open God's word. We need to be in God's Word every day, gang. I don't care how much you read of it, but you need to be in God's Word every day. In fact, we're going to make that our takeaway on this. To be in the Bible daily. You don't need to write that down. You'll know that. Believe me, God will shine truth from those pages into your life, and He will show you, like He showed me. My lie that I believe, that I bought into, it's not an easy one to conquer. Guess what? Yours probably aren't going to be any easier either. But when we acknowledge the lies, we tell ourselves the truth and commit to rooting them out of our lives through God's strength, we start to see the victory. And instead of God being displeased or made sick by our lies, He becomes pleased by our obedience and our willingness to join the battle. But telling the truth to ourselves is only one area. There's a second area where we need to tell ourselves this truth, and that's this. Tell the truth to others. All right? I would like for you to see a true story tonight. True story, not from around here, but true nonetheless. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would continue, as we said before, to have the courage and the bravery to look at our lives and say, this is in there. Whatever it is, whatever lie we may be telling ourselves and lie we're telling someone else, Lord, give us the bravery to root it out. Do it through the power of your Holy Spirit, but Lord, let there be change in our lives. You hate lying. I pray that each of us would turn that around into what pleases you, which is looking for forgiveness, living a life of repentance. Help us as we continue to study your word. Amen. Telling the truth to others. I had a friend who was an executive officer in a company. He told me the thing that he hated the most about his job was the practice the company had of spinning the truth or hiding the truth from its people. Someone being fired, somebody who inevitably would be let go, or even a poor decision that the company itself had made. And he said, you know, we'd sit at a conference table, and inevitably the question was posed, okay, what are we going to tell the people? He told me he hated having to walk up to his loyal employees and have to lie to them. He described it as the ultimate dishonoring. You see, these people who worked for my friend, they trusted him. They believed his word. What he says, that's truth to them. And they will act on that truth, and they will defend that truth, and they will build the future upon the truth that he gives them. There's only one problem. He had to give them lies. Well, as we head out these doors, we too have people who look to us to give them the truth, so that they can move on it and act on it and live on it. And in these situations, we have to decide, will we tell the truth to others and honor them, or will we choose to lie, no matter how small, how insignificant, which dishonors them? Maybe it'll be a friend who has a blind spot in their character or their behavior, and you need to speak some truth to them. The Bible tells us to honor that person by telling them the truth. Tell the truth to others. Maybe it's a situation that'll arise that tempts us to conceal truth from someone because we don't want them to know exactly what we've been doing. The Bible tells us, honor them. Speak the truth to others. Maybe it's someone who's simply asking about the availability of your time. That's when we need to remember this takeaway. Choose to honor people with the truth rather than dishonor them with a lie. Our third and final area of truth-telling for the night is this. Telling the truth to God. The acrostic I wanted to give you, we'll give you these backwards. Spells joy. Tell the truth to Jesus. Tell the truth to others. And tell the truth to yourself. Hopefully you'll remember that going out into this week. If you want to have a joyful life, tell the truth to Jesus. Tell the truth to others. Tell the truth to yourself. Here we're talking about telling the truth to God. Telling the truth to Jesus. Somehow, in this remarkable relationship that God offers us, there's an ironic balance that God gives us. It's a balance between reverence and awe and a healthy fear of God. And on the other hand, on this scale, there's this comfortable, at-ease relationship with a friend. Now, you see, when we focus on the enormity of God, the holiness of God, we're left speechless. And we see that reverent fear of God. John the Apostle, in the book of Revelation, when he was given a look at Jesus in heaven for who Jesus really was, John fell on the ground like he was dead in front of Jesus. But that same John is the same John who used to lean against Jesus at meals. You can't get any more comfortable or at ease with a friend than that. See, one of the most amazing things that Jesus did by coming here to earth was to help us understand the side of the balance where God is our ever-accepting, extremely personal friend. And gang, when we focus on that, we're not left speechless, lying on the ground as dead because of the things we've done in our life. Instead, we're ushered into a conversation of truth-telling to our friend. A conversation of truth-telling where we sit with Jesus, the one who has seen us at our worst and still loves us, and we honestly tell him about our mistakes. A conversation of truth-telling where we tell God that we're scared about something coming up in our lives. A discussion with a loyal companion where we can share anything. An exchange that doesn't require religious wording or fancy elaborate phrasing. You don't need that to speak to God. See, the amazing thing about God is that no matter what we've done, he will not give up on us. Instead, he asks us to tell him the truth, and he will forgive us. That's what Jesus acquired for us by dying on that cross. So tonight, as we close, I want to offer a final action step to you of speaking some truth to God, in your heart, straight to God. I want you to take the next few minutes, maybe look inside your heart. I'm going to have Lori play a song for us that we can listen to, and take that opportunity to speak to God in your heart. And after the song's over, and you've prepared your heart, and you've asked God for the forgiveness you need, I'll bring you down front, and Robert and Drew are going to serve communion to us. Talk to God in your heart. Do some truth-telling to Jesus.